Hello, friends, and welcome to Brazenly Shady. My name is Shazen Pages, and I'm one of your co-hosts. If you're a fan of chopping it up with your girlfriends while engaging in real, raw, and raunchy conversations, then buckle up and get comfortable because Brazenly Shady is definitely the podcast for you. Join me and my co-host, Sharonda Isadora, for bi-weekly episodes as we discuss all things romance with a dose of drama, tarot, and lipstick. Where you going? You ain't going nowhere. Tune in with us, guys. I promise you, you won't regret it.
I'm Sharonda, and
I'm Tima.
Hey, Miss Ma'am, how you been? What's going on?
It's been a long time. We shouldn't. Nah, I'm playing.
Left
out of dope beat. Step two. Hey. You're okay. Hey guys, it's been a long time. You know, life has been lifing, but we're back. Your girls are back, and we're here with a new review. Now, if you listen to Brazenly Shady Witching, I know you do, and if you don't, then you're lame because only cool people listen to Brazenly Shady. And if you cool and you mean something, you should be here, period. But anyway, we had an episode on Somebody's Wife, right? By Robbie Renee.
Yes.
We read the book, great book.
Yes.
And we just found out that she had a follow-up to Somebody's Wife. And wait, what's the name of it?
It is
Somebody's Forever. I think it's called Somebody's Forever.
You are correct.
And guess what, guys? We read it, and we are here to discuss Somebody's Forever by Robbie Renee. Let's get it.
Well, I gotta say, so basically, we always start off with what the book is about a little bit. This is a continuation of Gemma and Ezekiel's story.
Ezekiel.
Okay. And this is where they are a couple. And that's all I got for that description. But yeah, we're going through the motions as they attempt to or struggle or, you know, they're a couple now. They're boyfriend and girlfriend. So,
and so if you read Somebody's Wife by Robbie Renee, and if you know that the way that it ended, Gemma kind of like took some time to get herself together, and then at the end, she basically was like, she, you know, got her shit together and she wanted to be with Ezekiel. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't read Somebody's Wife, just stop, go back and read it. Listen to the episode and come back because this is going to give you spoilers. Yeah. You know, we don't really give a fuck about the spoilers. Like, you know how we do. Like, you already, at this point, if you hear, you already know spoilers here. So, you know what? Never mind. But anyway.
Well, I will suggest that people, am I echoing?
I ain't nothing.
Yeah, okay. I will suggest that people highly suggest that you read the first book before you go on there, so into this one, so you have like a general idea of what's going on with Gemma and Ezekiel and where they are, where they're at in this story right now. Because I think if you don't do that, I feel like you're going there a little bit confused, like, you know, what the, you know.
Or you can just go back and listen to our episode on the podcast, because like I said,
we're
very detailed in there about the book, because, you know, but anyway, so when the author mentioned that she was writing this book, I got excited because based on the way that it ended, we really didn't get to see them navigating any type of relationship. And I wanted to see that.
Correct.
But child, lo and behold, I get in this book. Anyway, but one thing you do know is that the couple, they have chemistry. They had chemistry from book one, but we really didn't see them on page acting on the chemistry that they have. But Robbie Renee got them fucking in this book. Like, they're fucking. Like, they are getting it on. Like, let's get it on. Marvin Gaye, let's get it on. They are knocking the boots, bitch. You understand? Like, they are getting it on, knocking the boots. So it's like, yeah. So we get that. But y'all, I did not like this book.
No, I have to agree. I just wasn't a fan of the story. Like Tamar said, when you finish the first book, you feel like, you know, you feel like you're not getting a complete story with the beginning of this couple actually going into a relationship. So when Tamar told me, she was like, oh, you know, she did a second part, you know, she did a follow-up to their story. I was like, oh, okay, so maybe, you know, as a reader, I felt like we were going to go into this book and get like this continuation of them growing this relationship, right? Yeah. Because Gemma was married for a long time and she really didn't want to go be somebody's wife again. She didn't mind being someone's, you know, girlfriend or whatever. She just didn't want to go into a marriage again, especially coming from what she came from, which is understandable.
Get it. Like, we get it. So this was supposed to be her learning how to
navigate, I feel like, being in a relationship with somebody without this.
Not only the relationship, but it was a chance for her to get back to herself.
Yes.
But still be open and willing to receive the love of a man who is fucking crazy about her. Like, this nigga is crazy about her.
Yes, and, 100.
But another thing that I did like that her ex-husband, literally, he realized that he fumbled the bag. Like, he realized that he fumbled the bag and, you know, you fucked up, you know?
Even though he was still being a jackass throughout this story too. Like, it was still hard for Quentin to let her go fully, completely. He still was running around campus acting like they were married and they were no longer married, you know? I just feel like in this book, what we got instead of this continuation of Gemma and Ezekiel going into a relationship, I feel like we pretty much picked up where we left off before with her struggling with being with Ezekiel. Like, she literally had this man, this grown fucking man.
If I am keeping it a buck, she could have taken these pages that she wrote in this book and she could have added it on to the first book, because there was no character development in this story, and it made Gemma feel like a one-dimensional character, because the same bullshit she was doing from part one, she come up here with this part two shit. And like Sharonda said, how fucking dare you? A grown-ass woman, 40 years old, you got this man up in the freaking hotel and you basically afraid to be out in public with this man, and you got him up into the hotel. So one, in book one, you was a people pleaser. Book two, roll it over, you still a people pleaser. So where is the growth? Where is the development? Why the fuck are we here?
Yeah, that was the main issue. I thought we were going to get this growth, this development of her character. Being happy, like Tama said earlier, being in a relationship with a man that fucking adored her. This man adored her, would walk on fucking fire for her. Walk across the motherfucking drown, probably in the fucking sea
baby,
for her.
She don't love you. I love you. You can come here. She don't deserve you, Ezekiel. I'm here, ready and willing to open these legs for you, because obviously she don't know what the fuck.
Where we go?
And what happened? Another thing. Mm. The family therapy.
Okay, so guys, just a background of what's going here. So before Tama goes to her point with the family therapy. When we left out of somebody's wife, Gemma was already going through the motions of leaving her husband for 20 plus years. So we had that rigmarole and that back and forth going on. And she had to, like, basically, like, I can't break up my family mindset going on. Now, when we're going inside this book, and we had this thing of not just her family, but we had this thing in the first book where I don't know if I should leave my husband, blah, 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 all that. Now we're going into it where she was really much dealing with her struggle with leaving Quentin to her struggles with her 20-year-old child who could not accept that her parents were getting divorced.
Okay. And this is the thing. I'm all here for the family therapy. But honestly, at this point, why the fuck are you going to therapy with your daughter and your husband? Nigga, y'all divorced. Y'all ain't getting back together. Nope. It ain't no unit no more. The unit is fucking done. Y'all need to go to therapy separate. Because why are you going to therapy as a family? The unit has been broken. The unit ain't a unit no more. Mm-hmm. Why are we here? It made no sense to me. Because why are you trying to keep this semblance of a family? It's no fucking family here. The family is gone, bitch. Why is we here? She needed to go to therapy by herself, mm-hmm. or when you're ready to express yourself to your dad, bring your bitch ass daddy. When you're ready to express yourself to your mama, bring your people pleaser mama, and y'all have separate coming together was like, oh, I don't like you. Bitch, you could have tell him that without her there. Why are we here? Bitch, we ain't married no more. You ain't my husband. I ain't your wife. Why are we here? And another thing.
Oh boy.
And another thing, you out here worried about what Quentin, you don't want people to see you with Quentin, and you got friggin' Ezekiel there trying to love on you. Baby, Quentin gone out there and had a whole baby on you. Niggas already talking about you. Niggas already talking about you. If you had any type of sense to save face, you would have gone there with a fine ass big dick nigga and let him love on you. Why? I'm calming down. Y'all can see this book really stressed me out because I feel like this shit was not why there was no quote. And the thing about it is that, and another thing.
Oh boy, and another thing.
Shiloh is a 20-year-old young lady. You 40. Her daddy didn't. First of all, it seemed like Shiloh was blaming her mom for what happened. Your mom did not stick her dick unprotected in somebody else and had a baby. First of all, mom don't have a dick. Okay, so let's start there. So why are you blaming your mom for the situation? I'm a firm believer of the kids gotta be all right, but the kids can't be all right if you ain't all right. You need to take care of yourself first so you can take care. Shiloh, I was ready to reach in this book and slap her. Because I was like, girl, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm. I 100% agree. I just feel like, now I will agree to disagree. I feel like I didn't mind the family therapy. I didn't like how the family therapy went down. Because I'm only going to say it like this. For the therapist to say, I want all three of y'all to talk, that's fine. I didn't like how it went down in that office because that gave, I feel like, Shiloh a chance to gaslight Gemma into like, oh, you don't care about us being a family anymore. Your mother, like Tama said, your mother isn't the one that cheated. Your mother, you know, your father cheated on your mother and then he had the nerve to have an outside baby. That is a lot. Okay, so you turning around saying to your mother, oh, you act like you don't want us to be a family. Why would I want to be with a man that I cannot trust?
And that's the thing. I'm like, you act like you don't want us to be a family. Bitch, we not a family. Like, what is the, what are you not getting?
Because did you not forget that your father, not only did he cheat, but you have a baby sister, lady? Like, what is going on here?
She's asking her mom, what am I supposed to do? Bitch, I don't know what you're supposed to do. That's your sister. If you don't want to, and that's the thing about it. If you don't want to acknowledge your sister, that is fine. But don't put that shit on me. That ain't me. That's not me. You need to have this this is a conversation she should have had with her father. Honestly, yeah. if I'm keeping it a buck.
No, I agree.
Quentin and Shiloh shouldn't even have been in this bitch because this is supposed to be about Gemma and Ezekiel navigating their relationship. Why so many unnecessary storylines was in this book? It blows my mind because one, it was a lot of sex, which I don't mind, but the sex overpowered Ezekiel and Gemma having any
power us getting some type of connection between them, right, to them continuing this relationship. It seemed like every time an issue came up, the way they solved it was her hopping on his dick. It was like,
Now, I ain't gonna fault them. I ain't gonna fault her for hopping on a dick because the dick.
I'm not.
Yes, but
what we say as grown people is that sex doesn't replace what the issues that are going on around us. And I felt like that was going on with this story.
It was a lot of unnecessary storylines in one, Shiloh, two, Quentin, three, Ezekiel's mom. How's she getting here? Like, I get it. Like, how's she getting here? How? Girl, what?
And then let's talk about Gemma's mother.
And another thing. Gemma fell right back into her people-pleasing ways when Shiloh came. Basically, like Sharonda said, gaslighting her. And I'm like...
And I think the thing is, Shiloh was so damn spoiled. Like, this is a spoiled child. It felt like we were reading a small child that was dealing with her parents' divorce. Not a 20-year-old. This girl was spoiled. And it's like, you really were guilt-tripping your mother because you weren't okay, okay? You're guilt tripping your mother to be unhappy and alone because you have an issue with your father giving you a baby sister. That's what the issue was. She didn't know how to handle her father having another child because she was a spoiled ass brat. A big spoiled ass brat. That whole thing, what am I supposed to do with this? Like Gemma told her, it's not your fault. And it's not that baby's fault. That is something your father has to deal with.
And the thing about it is that Gemma sat there and let her mama, 40-year-old, let her mama disrespect Zeke.
Call this man a rebound.
And that's the thing. We saw no character growth from Gemma because she's still the same in this book. One, she should have checked Shiloh because at the end of the day, we are trying to break free from the people-pleasing route. So one, she should have checked her daughter. Two, she definitely should have checked her mama because her mama went unchecked and that is unacceptable for me. Unacceptable.
It was because for you to sit up here and tell this girl, this woman, that what about scandal? Scandal? It's already a scandal. Her ex-husband literally was fucking everybody on campus and then had a baby with the janitor's goddamn wife. Are you serious?
And then she had the nerve to say, oh, I still love a girl. So you love me or this man? Because this man played me for idiot.
I understand growing close as a family stuff, but how you even have any type of, even if you still have love for Quentin being your son, how do you even have any respect for this man after what he did to your daughter? He straight up embarrassed. Your daughter has to walk around on campus with this man and everybody know. And that was another thing I felt that Shiloh could not deal with because she was like, oh, people are talking. That's nobody's fault. It's not your mother's fault. It's not your fault. That is something you should be talking to with your father. And to turn around and try to guilt trip your mother or her mother trying to guilt trip Gemma and to stay with somebody because of shame and embarrassment, only people they should have been going to fuck off on was Quentin. That's it. That's all. She already had to deal with enough. You don't think it's embarrassing for her? Nothing in this storyline made sense. It just, why we could not just pick up with us having some type of continuation of Zeke and Gemma continuing with this relationship, I just don't know. Like, she literally broke up with this man because Shiloh could not deal.
Right. And see, and this is the thing.
That's a grown ass man crying.
And that's another thing. Why you have Zeke in there like a bitch ass nigga? Like, you write him weak in the knees, man. Like, this man is the friggin'.
And I don't even
he is mind a big wig.
And I don't even mind a simp. He loved this woman, would do anything for her. So yes, simp if you have to. But to the point of her literally hiding this, they literally had to go to, and not just go to another state for a vacation, just to be going to another state for a vacation. They literally went to Florida on vacation because she did not want to be seen around town with this man. I was like, this her boyfriend, it just, it's like we literally did, like Tama said, we literally did not get any growth. We did not get no development of these characters, no development of the story. And it made no sense. We just picked up where we left before with Gemma not being able to deal with how people saw her for the failings of her husband.
He is the provost of a fucking university. Literally right under the president. And you had this nigga out here crying, buying property because she don't want to be out in public. So he buy it. Out of mind, I fucking listen.
Like, how about they came, even when they came back from vacation and he took her out for her birthday, I believe.
She ain't even told. She's
looking around like, oh my God, I don't want to be seen. Like,
honestly, it was good. It was nice meeting up with Gemma and Quentin again.
No, it wasn't.
But, okay, I did not like this book.
Don't lie.
I did not like this book. I felt like this book was a waste of my time because I didn't get any character growth or anything. It was not good. I did not like it.
Beautiful gowns, beautiful gowns.
It had everything to do with other people and not the fucking couple. Sex overpowered the meaningful conversations that they could have had.
Mm-hmm.
And Gemma, Jess, she's still on that bullshit. And honestly, I feel like in the next couple of months when Shiloh start bitching again or somebody say something about her being with Ezekiel, she gonna call Ezekiel and be like, Ezekiel, I can't be with you anymore. We need to take a break. And then you had Ezekiel there talking with no breaks, Gemma, with tears in his eyes. Hi, girl, what the fuck?
And I just feel like it was just so unnecessary to add the story of his mother falling ill and damn near dying in order for Gemma to come around and like, oh my God.
What did I got to do? What Ezekiel mama got to do with this relationship? What Gemma got, what Shiloh got to do with this relationship? What Quentin got to do? Why the mama got her bitch ass in this? No, this was.
It just wasn't what I thought it was, and I was so unsatisfied, so dissatisfied with the story. It was just a real disappointment, and I was so excited. Like when I saw Tama's review, I was like, "Oh shit!"
Cover, gorgeous fucking cover.
Oh, the cover is fucking gorgeous.
Gorgeous cover. I was excited because I genuinely loved Ezekiel and loved Gemma. And seeing this is the thing. This was a missed opportunity on the author's part. And I'm just going to keep it real because you went from somebody's wife where we know women like Gemma. We know women who are habitual people pleasers who want the facade of a marriage, but they know that they try to save face. You understand? They know the marriage is fucking poison inside, right. But they try to put on this facade like this marriage is perfect. We know people like this in real life. So why even come with a follow-up with her doing the same thing? Come with a follow-up with her fucking breaking free of that freaking chain. Falling in love with herself and choosing herself and allowing a man who is fucking successful to love on her, but instead you give us bullshit.
100% agree. Oh my God, yes.
No freaking change from book one. Like, this could have stayed in the drafts. Like, when you have a follow-up like this, I feel like I actually would have named this book The Emancipation of Gemma. If we keeping it real, we could have named it The Emancipation of Gemma, and we could have said, we could have showed Gemma getting her life back, getting her life back, enjoying herself, even though she's in a relationship with a man, still taking time. We could have shown a little bit of therapy on page. We could have shown her, you know,
because it's like
with Gemma again.
Yeah, because it's like we didn't even get to see her enjoy just being, not even just Zeke's girlfriend. Hold on. We didn't even see her get to enjoy the being herself because she was so worried about what her mother thought. She was so worried about what her daughter thought. And it was just like a hamster wheel, just running, trying to please everybody but herself. And the sad part is she had friends that were telling her, like, Gemma, you have to be happy for yourself. When your ex-husband's sister even tell you my niece is going to be okay, and you couldn't even believe that, you literally broke up with this man because I have to make sure. Shiloh literally came off as a spoiled brat because I didn't want to deal with the fact that she was not the only child anymore. That's it. That's all. That's what I took from that girl's character.
She's not going to be the center of attention anymore. Everybody's not going to be doting on Shiloh. And that's the thing about it. When Shiloh get her first piece of dick, you think she going to be checking for her mama? Really? Let's be fucking for real.
This was
a total missed opportunity for me. Missed opportunity on the author's behalf, in my opinion. And for me, it was a disappointment.
Yeah, I gotta agree. I was just not very happy with this book. I really thought we were gonna get some type of development of Gemma's character. And we saw, and what's so disappointing about going into this book and getting what we got is that at the end of Somebody's Wife, we saw her come up out of that shell. You know, she's getting therapy. She's, you know, we see her being stronger about stepping out of that marriage, okay? Mm-hmm. And just being like, but for her to still carry that guilt in the second book made absolutely no goddamn sense to me. Because we got all of that in the first book. Gemma realized that, no, it's not her fault that her marriage completely broke up, but she had a hand in it only because she knew Quentin was cheating on her for a long ass time. She only got tired because he bought a baby in this time.
Right. So, and this book should have been Gemma unapologetically loving Gemma.
Exactly.
Unapologetically loving Zeke out loud.
Yes.
Putting her mama in her place, putting her daughter in her place and say, hey, I raised you. You're grown now. Mm-hmm. Let me get back to me.
It's time for me to be happy. It's time for me to be happy. It's time for me to put myself first. That lady was putting everybody before her for 40 fucking years. For 20 years since she messed up and got pregnant. So according to her mother, since she messed up and got pregnant with Shiloh in the first place, she's been trying to please everybody. So now you're telling me in the midst of all of this, she can't even be happy, especially even with a man that cheated on her and was, if she decided to stay to bring a baby into that, she was going to be a stepmother, not somebody's girlfriend or somebody's forever. She was going to be a fucking stepmother to her husband's outside baby. The fact that her mother wanted that for her is fucking wild. So you don't want your daughter happy then, huh? Because embarrassment and scandal. But you're okay with your son stepping out on your daughter and having a baby. What? And the scandal wasn't going to go anywhere. Why? Because the woman that he decided to fuck around with and have a baby with couldn't keep her mouth shut. Everybody knew already. So what are you talking about?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
it ain't make no sense. I just wanted to see Gemma. There was enough room for Gemma to be concerned about Shiloh, but put herself first.
But choose herself. Like,
Shiloh was going to be okay. There's enough room for that.
Why are we writing stories with a woman who was a habitual people pleaser and put everybody before her in book one to her in book two doing the same thing? Free us, fucking black women. Free us. Free us.
Release. Please remove the shackles.
Free us. This was a chance to show her unapologetically getting back to her and the author thing and drop the ball. And there's no other way to say it.
No,
it was a missed opportunity and a complete disappointment for me.
Yeah, I agree. I just wasn't satisfied with this book at all. I was just not very happy. Like, I left this book like, what? Like, okay.
If you wanted to show them having sex, you could have just throw them on. Like, how they was in on their vacation and he bought that property. Just give us a little update of them fucking. Just made it an erotica of them just fucking.
I just wanted to see more conversations between them. For Zeke, for constantly in this book, kept telling Gemma the same thing he was telling her in the first book. Choose yourself. Put yourself. Stop worrying about everybody else. He even told her, when me and my ex-wife got divorced, my kids were the same way. But they had to realize that me and their mother were not going to get back together. We were not going to be happy together. And everybody accepted it and moved on. But it's like, this was such a miss of a continuation of a gorgeous story, because Gemma is a likable character. Zeke is a likable character.
Great characters.
And then for me to go inside this book and really not care for Gemma by the end of it, that's disappointing to me, because I love Gemma in the first book.
I saw myself in Gemma. I saw so many other of Black women and friends in Gemma in book one. And for me to go from loving Gemma in book one to just looking at her like, girl, you stupid as fuck in book
Gemma
two.
Gemma is a lot of women. I, at some point in my life, was Gemma.
Me too. My marriage was freaking crippling, but I was like trying to keep it together, knowing that my marriage was failing, but I didn't want, I didn't even want to go back home to the Bahamas, because I know my family was going to be like throwing the fact that my marriage was failing in my, so I stayed away from my family because I didn't want to face the fact that, damn, my marriage was failing. I saw myself in Gemma. I saw myself in her. I saw myself staying in a relationship because of my child and because I wanted him to bring him up in a two-parent household. But then I realized that me staying was hurting me and him more than freaking leaving. So I made the choice to leave. I saw myself in Gemma. Gemma was all of us at one point in our life. Gemma was a likable character. For her to go from there, I wanted to see Gemma break free in this book. I wanted to see her unapologetically love herself and enjoy getting dicked down from a successful Black man who just fucking loves her.
This man loved her. And the fact that Zeke was so willing to be like, I will play your boyfriend for as long as you need for me to be your boyfriend. Ain't no rush on nothing.
He prioritized her healing more than she did.
Yes!
That is not a good look. He basically was telling her, I'll wait. If you need to get yourself together, I will wait. You have a man who is waiting for you to heal, and this is the fuck out of here, man. I'm just,
like, in real life, where is this man? Like, this man does not exist.
He literally cared more about her mental health and her emotional well-being more than she did. Nobody give a fuck about her. Her mom didn't care. Her daughter didn't care. care. Queen didn't care. The only person that cared was Ezekiel.
Because those people that claim, those people so close to her that claim to love her, decided to put their feelings before hers. And that was bad. I want us to start writing stories where we stop writing these perfect men and give us these. I don't mind reading damaged women. But if you're going to build this character, if you're going to move forward with this character, move forward with the character, give us the things that are going to hurt. What we got in that first book is what we would want to read. We saw Gemma step away from that marriage and be like, I'm not doing this no more. She realized how she messed up by allowing her husband to continue to step outside their marriage. She realized that. And she decided to take the initiative and leave that marriage behind. But to, and it's not like she was going to try to get, she refused to be with Quentin anymore. But to literally make yourself a spinster because your 20-year-old daughter can't get out her goddamn head? No. No. What about her happiness? What about Gemma's happiness? Yes, we are all good with saying, yes, we have to make sure that our children are okay, even our adult children, but not to the detriment of ourselves.
Thank you.
No, we can't keep doing that, because once those adult children find whoever they're going to be with forever, it's guess what? Okay, mom. Well, you know. And that's what was going to happen. But I just feel like with Shiloh's character, that's not what we got. We didn't get a person that was... She could have been genuinely struggling with her parents' divorce. I just feel like Shiloh just read as a spoiled brat who felt like, I'm no longer going to be the baby and I don't like this shit. Mommy. Mm-hmm. No. You know, she had more smoke for Gemma than she had for Quentin. And I did not like that. How do you have more smoke for the person that was wrong than the person that did the wronging? Like, that made no sense.
Missed opportunity. Missed opportunity.
I was very not happy with this book. Like, I just wanted us to get a story of, yes, let Gemma continue with her healing, but let her be in a fucking bubble of dealing with a man that fully loved her.
Let her experience that joy without the paranoia that was in this book. Like, let her experience a man fucking doting on her. This book was...
She did not have that in her marriage for years. Years! And to finally have a man and to recognize, this woman recognized that this man loved her more than her own husband when she was married to him did. And she was just so worried about, oh my God, my daughter. Oh my God, my mother. Oh my God, my reputation.
What the people didn't say, bitch, they talking about you like a stink dog behind your back because your husband already cheated on you and had a baby. So, I mean, why not show up with a fine ass man on your hand?
With the goddamn provost of the college. What? They bitches eat dirt and die. Look who I'm with, bitch. It ain't like she took a step down like her husband did, ex-husband did. She took a whole step up.
Everybody hands go up. Hey.
She was on the floor before the goddamn penthouse.
All I do is win, win, win. You was winning, bitch.
Winning.
Anyway.
I was just really not very impressed with this book. I
probably said it a million times, a complete disappointment.
It's no disrespect towards the author and her craft. It's not. This was just a missed opportunity for us to see a woman going through the complete healing process while receiving love from someone that adored her. This man fucking adored her. Zeke was the perfect male character. Listen, if y'all want us to enjoy these female characters, Write the perfect woman along with the perfect man. That's all I'm going to say.
I've been seeing a lot of tweets talking about, oh, y'all ain't liking these female characters. You know why? Because y'all writing asshole female characters. Y'all writing dumbass bitches. That's why we don't like them. Y'all writing these perfect men, and then y'all writing these freaking females who just dumb as a bag of rocks. Stop. Write. We want to see whole. Just how y'all write these perfect men, write these perfect women too.
We want to see evolved women like we see these evolved male characters.
Thank you.
Because I'm telling you right now, if you go back and read your story in real life, half of y'all will not like these women that y'all writing. It's all I got to say. You will not like these heifers, okay? So,
Beautiful gowns.
Beautiful gowns, beautiful gowns. That's all I got.
I don't have nothing else.
I can't say... I don't think we can say any more than what we already said. I just feel like this was a disappointing follow-up to the first book. And I don't know. I expected better. I'm sorry. I just did.
Yeah, a missed opportunity. So that's all I could say. A missed opportunity. That disappointed me.
First book will always be in my heart and my dreams. Always. I even have the goddamn paperback.
I bought the paperback immediately, but I ain't buying no paperback of this one. I can tell you that. No.
Only books I like go on my shelves. So.
Well,
yeah. Here y'all go. Y'all got an episode, honey. It may not have been what y'all want, but it's what you got, okay?
And y'all know we keep it real. So you know if we keep it real on this podcast, and if that's something that you can't handle, then this ain't the podcast for you.
All I have to say is receive this with love.
Yeah, it's constructive criticism.
I take it how you please, but receive it with love and understand that this is nothing ever negative towards anybody's craft. Okay.
So anyway, moving along, what is going on in this goddamn community?
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know what's going on. Book community, I don't know. Honestly, I'm tired. I mean, we have these conversations for the podcast. But, you know, I don't know. Ain't nothing been out there fresh in the world, I guess. Nothing, you know? So.
I have just stepped back or nothing has been happening. But I honestly feel like it's me just stepping back because, you know what? Mm. I am tied with bleach of these hoes.
And you that's what?
I am tied with bleach of these hoes. Like, I'm not going to be like...
I just caught on and I'm like, wait a minute, go back, repeat that.
Okay. I am tied with bleach of these hoes.
Okay.
The community, it's a bunch of, I'm going to call these flippers. It's a bunch of flippers over there because one day it's this thing, the other day it's this. And I mean, I'm going to go with this. Be yourself. And the thing about it is that I am unapologetically team or role. If you don't like me, I don't give a fuck. You could bungee jump from the crack of my ass if you don't like me.
Buddy always got a bungee crack. Like what?
If you love me, you're smart because I'm a fucking lovable person.
Hey.
So I get it. But I'm always myself. And it's just, it's me just scrolling. You see people. One day their stance is here, the another day their stance is there. And it's like, baby, be yourself. If niggas can't love you for you, they ain't your people.
I think this community has fostered it's never a middle with this community. I think this community has fostered a lot of people. Into not being authentically themselves. And I think that is the problem, you know?
Yeah, and I see a lot of people agreeing with certain takes, even liking certain books to fit with the crowd, to like go with the flow. One thing I ain't a go with the flow, bitch. I am not a salmon. You understand? I ain't going with the flow, bitch. I'm never.
These metaphors are killing me. God damn it.
I am not. And this is the difference. And you, it might come off as, oh, Shades and Pages is, she always has something to say, which, and I do, bitch, I do. So, and she's, you know, what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
I don't think I'm problematic. So that's not the word I'm looking for. Like, but anyway, I don't know what I want to say, but y'all know what I want to say. But be your fucking self. That's all I can say. Be yourself. This is a community where I feel like you can get swamped in to false pretenses. And
yes. At
the time, you need to be yourself. People will gravitate to you once you be yourself. And this is where you don't have to try so hard, because it comes easy because it's you. You understand what I'm saying? And just be yourself and be you.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking easy. This is why niggas don't like me. Now I'm playing.
It can all be so simple.
But
and I then agree.
You also have to align yourself with good people, with your people, because I was blessed to find my fucking tribe of people who speak to me, who speak into me, who are honest with me. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I was blessed. Some of y'all ain't blessed like me, because the stuff that y'all be posting and saying, y'all ain't got no friends, bitch.
No friend groups at all. No.
So friends you know, I would text her in a hot minute. I'd be like, yeah, you got to take that down, because I ain't even do right. Like, we don't mean shit. I'll text her in a quick minute.
No, and she'd
be like, I'd be like, Shawanda, nah, no. Delete that. You got a typo. You got to edit that. This is. And I feel
and
like.
And vice versa. And that's what I feel like a lot of people in this community don't have. They don't have people around them that breathe into them, you know, breathe good energy into them. And I think that's why a lot of people in this community get together and then fall apart, because there's no true friendship there. You know, everybody attaches to somebody for something, you know, rather you have a high following count or whatever, you know, and it's sad. But I just feel like this community as a whole, the bookish space as a whole, just breeds so much insincerity. And that's why it is what it is.
And fraudulent behavior. And it's like everyone is following, like I said, going with the flow. If a book becomes popular, everybody gotta like this book. And I promise you, it's not Shades and Pages coming and disliking a book, because it's not that way. But I feel like my followers know that I am known for honest reviews. Mm. And I feel like I owe it to my followers and to myself to be honest. And this is something that Shawanda preached to me when I first jumped in this community, because y'all know Shawanda been here from long time, child. Like,
sure thing.
Shawanda been blogging for a while. And Shawanda took me under her wing, and she had no choice, because you know me, I stalked this. And I ain't even freaking denying that. I kind of stalked her because I saw that we read the same things. And when I read her review, it was always tastefully honest. And that's why I gravitated towards Shawanda. And Shawanda taught me a lot of things that I went on and I shared the wealth with people who I am close with in the community. You understand what I'm saying? And there's
people also have to be receptive to what you're saying to them.
Yeah.
You know, you understand? Because it's like people also have to be receptive to that. Rather, you're giving it to them, you know, or if they're asking. Because my thing is, don't ask and then turn around and do is, you know, opposite, you know, because now you don't want to look like the bad person to right. everybody else. Then why are you asking me anything if you're so worried about what everybody else thinks? Why are you asking me anything?
Agreed.
I told you to hey, if you didn't like a book, just say what you can like you can love a book to death and dislike some of the things that are going on inside of it. And it's perfectly okay to say what it is that you did not like.
That's the thing. This community is not built for you to be even honest about what you don't like, because
it's real. And it just breathes.
You're tapped for it.
Yeah. And it breathes this smoke of you being the problematic person, you know, or you just don't like anybody, you know. Everybody loves to say, oh, she's a hater. It's not, what happened?
No, well,
to coming into the space and just, you like what?
Yeah, but I had a lot of messages last week when people were messaging me and was like, mm-hmm. where you been? I ain't see you on the timeline. You've been MIA. First of all, I'm going to say it again. This is the number three. I am tied with Bleach of these hoes. I just don't have the bandwidth to deal with it anymore. Even recently on, and that's how I know I don't have the bandwidth to deal with it anymore, because niggas came at me foul on Instagram recently and I didn't say anything. I just ignored it. Multiple times it happened and I just ignored it. The old Shades and Pages would have went off. I just didn't say anything because I don't have to prove myself to anybody. I don't have to prove myself to anybody at all.
Growth, honey.
I don't have to prove myself. Y'all already know. When you hear Shades and Pages, you already fucking know. So who am I proving myself to? Y'all? Negro, please. And I have nothing to say. Like, I'm here, but I'm not here. I feel like this year, one, I said I was going to read less, and baby, the universe is forcing me to read less because I'm out here fighting for my life.
Hey, when you put it out there and the universe responds, ain't nothing
wrong with you. Because I am fighting for my life. I ain't hit 200 books yet, and anybody that know me, by this time, I'm already at 2-something.
I know.
I ain't hit 200 yet. So, I've been reading, but I haven't been reading a lot. And I've also not been posting a lot of reviews because, I mean, it's 1,000,010 of y'all out here. Y'all can do it.
And I just feel like the longer you sit in the community, it really starts to become a thing where you're not so much in a thing of, posting all the time. You know, I think people just take breaks. You know, well, I'm not going to post as often as it was. Should I post every week, or I'll post every 2 weeks, or I'll post, you know, I post whenever I want. And I think the longer you stay into this space, it just becomes that, you know? And sometimes it could just gradually slip into that, you know? People just post when they want to post, and that's just it. Like, let me just enjoy my books, and I'll write an occasional, you know, review or whatever, and then I'll just go about to whatever the fuck I was doing, you know?
What the song say on TikTok? You hoes be tripping. I'm gonna bag you and your walk you like a dog. Like, you hoes be tripping. And I just don't have the energy anymore. Like, I'm gonna clown you behind your back. Nah, I'm playing. I won't. Probably would. I'm lying. But I'm not gonna. I don't have the time anymore.
I understand.
I don't. And it's just that this community is like every day there's a new bloggers and stuff coming up, and you know, let them
and
do
welcome
it.
Welcome
y'all do it. I'm chilling. Y'all do it, because I ain't got it no more. I ain't got it.
I understand. Welcome aboard, new people.
I've been getting an influx of followers, like, and I'm looking at the page and it's like new, and I'm like, who is this? And who is this? You know, it's like every day, and you know, that's good.
Yeah, that's good.
Are reading again, and you know, coming into the space and loving Black romance. I'm gonna keep my thoughts on that for next episode. But just remember, Sharonda and I talked about this before in a previous episode when we were talking about appreciating the people that's been here, loving on Black romance. Because guess what? When all the hype dies down, who's still there?
Hey, well,
with that being said,
this concludes our this concludes our episode, and I agree 100% with what my dear friend has said here, and
and we've been gone for a while because life has been holding Sharonda and I in a chokehold.
for real. Woo, shit.
We're gonna try to be as consistent as life allows us. So we're gonna We're gonna try to be as consistent as life allows us. And this episode is a start of another streak of hopefully great reading.
Yeah. Well, we'll have another episode for you guys this month. We're not gonna give a day because, like I said, life be life. But we will have another episode for you guys this month.
And we appreciate you guys for with us, like for real.
We do, and I've been noticing that we have been getting followers on the Instagram page, and we appreciate that so much. So yeah, to all the new followers, welcome.
Soon. We gotta host a giveaway or something soon.
Yeah, we'll
do that.
Yeah. But we appreciate you guys for rocking with us and sticking with us and enjoying the podcast for what it is. And for those who understand that what we do here is what we do here, and they love it and they enjoy it and they engage with it. Thank you ever so much.
Thank you guys so much.
That is, yes. And that is it for us. And until the next one,
bye.
We will see y'all later. Bye, deuces, pieces of candy.
Well, hello, it's Sharonda Isadora, and if you're at the end of this episode, we thank you so very much. Make sure you're tuning in bi-weekly for new episodes of Brazenly Shady. You can catch our previous shows via your favorite podcast platform everywhere. Also, make sure you're following us via social media at Brazenly Shady, Instagram, and Twitter. And until the next bout of shenanigans, later days. Bye.